just like you. We're all about sports and the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Rick Church on the other side of the glass in for Chris today. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Chris is in the building doing management stuff. Rick Church pulling a doubleheader today, doing our show and then running the Everglades tonight. Yeah. Yeah, let's play two. So, thank you, Rick.
Going, huh?
Nah, yeah, well.
Should know Ernie.
Should know who he is. Our phone number, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
I have a question for Rick because I was listening on Saturday and Sunday at different times, but I know you not going to see Maverick popped up, came up at the top of conversation yeah. with the golf guys again, did, and they were surprised.
Yeah, everybody is, right? I mean, I shocked the world, I guess. I'm the only person in the world that doesn't like Top Gun,
I think if
apparently.
You had, I think if you hadn't seen Top Gun, you would like this.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me, a lot of people have said that this is, it's a much better movie.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
it's not.
Yes.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's a rare case where
the sequel's better than the original.
I wouldn't rule out seeing it, I guess.
I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Now, something more on my level, my son and I are so thrilled that on June 23rd, we're going to actually pay for a one-month subscription to Paramount Plus TV just so we can see the new Beavis and Butthead movie.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big deal.
It is. It's a sequel to the first movie, Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Hysterical.
And they're labeling it as the dumbest science fiction movie ever made. It's Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
Yeah.
I will definitely watch
the trailer. We're like, oh, we're so in.
What's the date on that?
June 23rd. Okay. Paramount Plus exclusive.
Yeah.
When you get Paramount Plus, too, make sure you watch the show The Offer, which is about the making of The Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
It's really well done.
Great things about
that. One episode left. Yeah. I've seen the first nine.
I'm sure we'll get our month's worth out of it for sure.
Yeah, because we're doing
just for the Beavis and Butthead.
You can get all the Star Trek shows and the Picard series that Craig is finally
on. I'm
into
it now.
Really.
Yeah.
Also, just recently they announced a Spinal Tap 2 is coming out. Now, it's not going to be until next year, but they've got all the original cast signed. Rob Reiner and Michael McKean and Harry Shearer all returning to their roles for Spinal Tap 2.
How about that?
Apparently, the story involves something about a lawsuit about something they didn't fulfill during their day, so they have to reunite to avoid some lawsuit. Can't wait to see that.
Swinging Blind says, Top Gun 2 is a direct copy of Top Gun 1 with better flying angles only because of the technology.
No, I don't think it's a copy of Top Gun 1 at all.
He also says the original's way better.
I disagree. Hmm. I like the original. I love the original. I love this one better.
Yeah.
Or as much. It's different. I love it. I love it in a different way.
Well, see, Rick. Now, Rick, you never saw one, or you didn't like
it? Oh, I saw it. I thought it was terrible.
I couldn't stand it. Thought there were a couple corny parts in it?
The whole thing was corny.
Okay.
Yeah.
there's just something about these, it was just so gushing with machismo.
Hardos, you know?
Okay, guys. Yeah. We get it. Yeah. You know, you're bad A pilots. I get it. Hey, speaking of which, you know, I know the last time I was here and we talked about this, you know, Captain Greg Stamper's dad was a Top Gun pilot.
Yeah.
And I told Debbie, man, you need to have him call in. And they would probably love to hear the story.
Oh, I'd love it.
I guess, you know, he lives up in Sarasota. And, you know, I said, yeah, they'd love to hear about that.
We would.
Check in, Greg.
NASCAR guys, me and wife are going to see Jurassic Park Sunday.
That came out last night.
That came out last night. Yeah, I'm going to see that at some point this weekend in IMAX 3D somewhere. Saturday or Sunday, absolutely.
Rick, you've got Wig just shaking his head. He said, "What? No to Top Gun, but loves Beavis and Butthead." Wow. Well, that says a lot.
The original Beavis and Butthead movie was absolutely hysterical. Plus, there's no, you know.
And
you had Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Right. Robert Stack is the police officer.
Full cavity search.
Jersey Jeff says Rick Church for president 2024.
All right.
I'd vote for him. All right, hey, before we go any further, at 7 minutes and 29 seconds past the hour, it's time for a SportsCenter rundown.
No, Chris, here's me.
Well, tonight at Hertz Arena at 7:30, the Kelly Cup Final. The Toledo Walleye taking on our beloved Florida Everblades. Blades up 2-1 in this series. You can listen to the game, too. 7:15 airtime. Rick Church will be spinning the dials. Please text him during the broadcast. Go. Tickets are still available tonight and tomorrow night for what would be Game 5. And also tonight, Golden State Warriors taking on the Boston Celtics. That's Game 4. Celtics up 2-1.
I'll bet you those Everblades games, though, sell out on walk-up.
I would think so.
I would think so.
They did about 6,000 and change last game. I thought it'd be a little higher. But again, we had Chris Palin on. He says people just assume it's sold out. And it's not because we do a large walk-up crowd here in this market.
And I'll tell you what, the first two games in Toledo were both sellouts.
They were.
8,600 in Toledo for games 1 and 2. So,
and I'll tell you, if they win,
show them what that's about.
If they win tonight, probably people will buy tickets as even if the box office is still open as they're going out the door for tomorrow. Yeah. There's no question. Tomorrow night's going to be sold out if they win tonight.
Yeah.
Even if they don't win tonight, I think tomorrow night's going to be sold out.
Yes.
So 7,000 plus screaming would be great.
All right. I have some more sound here I want to get to. Let me set this up. Tony La Russa. Well, he's one of these managers, got to be the smartest guy in the room, right? So the White Sox are taking on the Dodgers. There's a runner on first. And Trey Turner's up, right?
Yes.
He's got a 1-2 count. And there's a wild pitch to make it 1-2. And the runner on first goes to second. So now all of a sudden, with two strikes on the batter, first base is open. Tony La Russa, well, you can't have first base open. We got to walk a guy. So they do an intentional walk, yada, yada, yada. It leads to a 3-run home run. Ultimately, they lose the game to the Dodgers, 11-9. And so that's the setup.
Sousa bounced an 0-2 slider for a wild pitch. Freeman takes second. Wanted to set up a left-on-left matchup. La Russa ordered the intentional walk to the right-handed hitting Turner, who had a single and who singled in a run in the fifth.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear the play. This is on NBCSN Chicago. Here is the play, the intentional walk.
Now, wait a second.
They're going to intentionally walk him.
On 1-2?
Yep.
Can you explain that to me?
I would think you don't want Turner to do any more damage, and you want to take advantage of the lefty-lefty.
Typically, at two strikes, the league batting average is quite low.
Oh, yeah. It is that.
When was the last time you saw somebody intentionally walked on 1-2?
Didn't happen often.
Get two strikes, Tony!
You got two strikes, Tony! I love that.
Well, you never know. Maybe you forgot. But
by the way, those are Chicago announcers that are questioning La Russa's move.
And then it's bad enough he does that. And then this happened.
Yeah, Max Muncy hits the 3-run home run. Here it is.
High fly ball the other way. Pollock's going back. It's gone! 3-run home run for Max Muncy. They put Trey Turner on intentionally with a 1-2 count, choosing to go Sousa Muncy, and he makes him pay with an opposite field 3-run shot. It's 10-5.
That's Sportsnet LA with the call. So let's go to postgame. Here's Tony La Russa defending his decision to do the intentional walk.
Can you explain the thought process on the intentional walk with...
With Turner?
Turner. At 1-2.
So let me ask you a question. Is there some question about whether that was a good move or not?
I guess at 1-2 is the question. At the count.
Do you know what he hits against left-hand pitching with 1-0-1 or two strikes? You know what he hits? Well, you know what Muncy hits with two strikes against a left-hand pitcher? I mean, is that really a question? Because it was 1-2? Turner with a strike left against a left-hander is not something you can avoid if you can. And we had an open base, and Muncy happened to be the guy behind him, and that's a better matchup. Here again, somebody disagrees. That's the beauty of this game. Welcome to it. But that wasn't a tough call.
Oh, stop it.
That was the wrong call.
Come on. How many 1-2 intentional walks have been issued in the history of baseball?
The exception
may be Barry Bonds, McGuire, or you know.
I've never seen it happen. I can't recall.
Well, I know, you know, Barry Bonds and somebody else even this year, I think, got walked with the bases. I mean,
that wasn't with two strikes.
I don't ever remember. I'd like someone to look it up or tell me the last time there was an intentional walk issued on a 1-2 count.
But the only scenario that in which that could happen is if there was a runner who somehow advanced from first to second during the at-bat. Because if you're going to make the decision to walk somebody with a 1-2 count, something changed on the base pass.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I'm with you there. But it's not like somebody would hit a double and then the next batter
would
just
throw
wait
three,
for a 1-2 count.
Right,
no.
and then change their mind, but...
But that's just asinine.
I've never, ever, ever, ever seen or heard of that, and I've watched a lot of baseball games.
That's taking Bill James analytics to the nth degree. It's just,
and La Russa kept asking, do you know what his batting average is with two strikes against? Was he saying that because he knew it, or because he was just saying, you're questioning me, do you know it?
Yeah.
Irrelevant. But then he started talking about Max Muncy. He jumped ahead of batter in his explanation.
After the report, I said, oh, what is it? It's probably under 200. I'll look it up during the that.
I don't even care. It's just dumb.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's irrelevant
at all
to me.
I'm trying to rack my brain at when I've ever seen that before. Mm. An intentional walk on a 1-2 count with first base open. I don't know.
By the way, Shohei Ohtani, a pretty good pitching effort and a home run in the Angels 5-2 win over the Red Sox, and that ends the 14-game losing streak.
And it's a Red Sox 7-game winning streak.
Yeah. All streaks come to an end. I hear Chris Sale may be coming back, make bullpen duty.
Yeah, he's supposed to throw last week or earlier this week at JetBlue down the street and had a stomach bug, didn't end up throwing.
Maybe he ate some Cheerios.
Threw those out last night.
Not me. Gonna finish mine this weekend.
Oh, God. If you get sick, you better not lie about it.
I believe me, it's material for the show. I would not get sick. And plus, Pete, I've got my throw-up streak that I haven't puked since 1996.
True.
If that comes to an end during our tenure here, we'll do a whole show on it.
Dopey says, if Tony's 12 count, whatever, intentional walk ends up getting them out of the inning, the next thing is nobody's saying a damn thing. So, no, come on, Dopey. Give me another example. I've watched a lot of baseball in my lifetime. I don't ever remember a 1-2 intentional walk.
Chris is the voice of reason texting in. At least throw one more pitch outside, hoping he'll chase it. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about if you're working to cut, you know. If it's 1-2, and then you okay, it's 3-2, and maybe you don't want to take a chance there. I understand that 1-2.
Yeah.
Give me another example when that's happened. Yeah, give me any time that's happened, and I'll bow to the absurd. I guess.
Try to get him to swing at a junk pitch, right?
Yeah,
at least once or twice.
Yes.
Well, not too much of a junk pitch because that was the problem. It was a wild pitch that got away that allowed the runner at first go to second. If you throw another one away, you got a guy on third now.
Yeah, he bounced a slider in front of the plate.
Let's go to the phones. Mark in the Cape would like to chime in on Tony La Russa's decision making, good or bad. Hey. I do not know. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Mark.
Good, good, good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's a bad decision. I'm a lifetime White Sox fan, and that was one of the worst things I've ever seen, you know, with the announcers even calling him out. And then the press conference after.
Yeah.
Basically saying everybody is wrong except for me. And then why would you put the lead runner at the plate when you're up two runs in the sixth inning to top it all off? It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
And Muncy had 5 RBIs in his return after missing 11 games with a left elbow inflammation. He entered hitting 150 to Turner's 303.
Yeah. How do you give up the advantage? It's hard to get 2 strikes on a guy, and you basically say, take first base, thanks. And then Muncy, when he was rounding home plate, you could just see his words were, I can't believe you walked the guy with 2 strikes.
Yep.
Taught him a lesson, and it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hear you. I agree with you. And sometimes it just leaves you shaking your head, right?
Versus left-handed pitching.
Shake your head a lot.
Yeah. I'm looking at Trey Turner right now. Versus left-handed pitching, he's batting .286. Okay, he's had 56 at-bats. He's got 2 home runs and 12 RBI. But I'm looking with 2 outs. With 2 outs against lefties, he's batting .282.
Yeah.
With 2 outs.
Yeah, that's less – you know, he's going to be out seven times out of ten.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was bad. Yeah. It was bad. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. Actually, Appreciate that.
That's just batting with two outs. Not necessarily against lefties.
Yeah, but we don't know about with two strikes either.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. With two outs, he was batting 282. And I just give me another. Somebody come up with another example. Yeah. I've never seen it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Young officer, Sean. You know, he has to check in earlier now because he's busy during his usual 5 o'clock bit. So we go into the weekend with Sean. Sean, how are you, sir?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We're good. We're ready for the weekend. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm just getting ready. I'm heading to work now, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I need to talk to y'all about the Blades game.
Okay. Yeah, you were there the other night because you sent the picture. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there Wednesday night. I mean, they did good. The referees were horrible.
Really?
I did not like them at all.
Oh, what happened? Were they calling silly penalties?
They literally penalized the Blades 5 different times. And Kato got the one penalty the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could hear every time they should have penalized Toledo, they didn't. Everyone called them out in the arena. And then they decided to stop every fight before it actually got started. So when they started shoving each other, they did step in and stop the fight.
Yeah. Well, aren't they kind of supposed to?
Most hockey events,
they usually let the fight go on for a little bit, and then they'll stop it once it hits the floor. Once these guys started shoving, they got in between, like, really?
Even last night in the Lightning game when the fight happened at the end of the third period, I felt bad for the officials or because they would get in there and they would try and wrap up a guy from getting a big swing, and I wouldn't want that job.
No.
That would hurt.
There was a group fight at the end of the game. I swear, all of us had to get involved because there was a huge group fight between both of teams at the end.
I think most refs in ECHL, AHL, I think they do a great job with the fight. I mean, there's certain times you just let them go. You just let a couple guys go. But it's a whole bunch of people. Or sometimes you just get a feel. You just try to stop it if you can before it even starts. But
yeah.
It's sort of subjective. It's a tough call unless you've been right there in the trenches.
Yeah,
I can guarantee you those refs got to be like the most hated people in Southwest Florida right now, especially because how many penalties that should have been called in Toledo that was never called, and we're just like, really?
Yeah.
You'll call it on the Blades, but if Toledo does it, they get a... I mean, the Blades struggled. I enjoyed watching, but it was obviously, you know, a setback game, which it happens. It's to be expected.
Yeah.
I was just hoping they'd win, but, you know, I also expected that they might get a setback with it being their first home game for the Kelly Cup. So I wasn't... You know, I was kind of hoping we'd win, but wouldn't be disappointed if we didn't because, you know, with it being the third game, if we beat them there, it only leads to, one more game on Friday.
Now you're working tonight. Any chance you go to game five tomorrow?
I wouldn't be able to go to a game unless it's on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, well, it's either Friday or Saturday because then they go back on the road. So,
All right, I got it.
Well, listen, Sean, you have a stellar weekend. Don't work too hard.
I'll try not to.
All right, my man. Good talking to you. That's all right, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so per Baseball Reference, Turner is batting 256 on 1-2 counts. He's at 286 against left-handed pitchers, 309 versus righties. Muncy, 125 against lefties, an anemic figure, which is what Tony La Russa was talking about. But still, at 256 and a 1-2 count, at least throw one more pitch, even if you...
Pete, when the hitter's got two strikes, he's on defense. It's not the same. There are very few hitters in baseball that are good and aggressive with two strikes on them. Okay?
Yep. And 256 is probably, it's probably a little bit above average, maybe average. But you don't see this. It's just overthinking the game. I'm sorry. It's just...
Al in the Cape says, does it ever happen in baseball where a pitcher will basically blow off a manager and not... No. No, you won't be pitching much longer if you do that. Stammer Time says La Russa needs to be fired. One of the stupidest moves I've ever seen.
Well,
yeah.
No one would have said anything had Muncy not hit a home run.
Right, well, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think.
If you're into a double play, that's it. Oh, see, nobody would ever remember that. Now, you know, this is what.
All right.
1-2.
I have some. I got some more sound on Sound Street. I want to hear from Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp, a couple of receivers. So, Rick, if you got that here, here is Davante Adams speaking on his decision to leave Green Bay.
Where I'm in my career, You know, and this isn't a shot at anybody. Any other quarterbacks are, you know, on the, in Green Bay. You know, I love Jordan Love, especially. He's a great guy. But, you know, I got aspirations of doing really, really big things and being remembered. And I just, you know, it wasn't really a point in my career that I was willing to sacrifice, you know, Aaron not being there, you know, after a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Translation? I don't want Jordan Love to terminate or knock it down my numbers.
Yeah.
Later in my career.
Wonder how many receivers said that about a young Tom Brady, you know, when he was the right?
You know, that's a fair point. But I also know guys know. Fans and media, they don't necessarily know. But the guys know that practice with the guy. And I got a feeling that even though Bledsoe was out there taking the ones, I think the guys knew Brady was accurate, just like I think they know that maybe Love is not very accurate. Like what they're used to with Aaron Rodgers. That's all I'm saying.
And let's be honest. The Patriots did not have a Devontae Adams in 2001. Yes, Brady jumped from 4 to 2 on the depth chart, which is big. And like I said, me and some others, I said, this guy's going to be starting sooner rather than later. You know, they had Troy Brown, David Patton. They didn't have a Devontae Adams on that team at all. Those were the guys. Antoine Smith, Mark Edwards, talking about fullbacks.
Doesn't it just make it sound, though, like he's just kind of, like, more interested in, like, personal accomplishments and stats? I mean,
yeah,
right? Because he's saying he's worried about his legacy or his, like, stat line? Or
I don't have a problem with it because that's how he's going to get paid.
Horrible thing to say.
And, look, he's not like he went from the Packers to the Lions or some other or the Texans. He went to another team that has a legitimate chance at winning with a very good quarterback. I don't know. I don't find too much fault, especially if he knows what Jordan Love is or isn't.
Well, certainly, if you're Jordan Love, you're taking that as a shot.
Sure,
no question,
absolutely.
And we still don't know what Jordan Love is at all.
Yeah. Dopey says, "What's up with that Alabama receiver that Detroit drafted?
Hurt.
He will not make camp.
I think he's faking it.
He's not faking anything." It's an ACL. It's a 12-month injury.
Fake.
Speaking of receivers, here's Cooper Kupp, who this week signed an $80 million extension. He is thankful for the Rams organization.
I'm so thankful for this organization and the people that and the coaching staff up through the front office. And like I've touched on, this is an organization that I want to be a part of for a long time. So to have those people, the people I have a lot of respect for, be able to, you know, show me that, you know, that they want me to be here and that this was a priority for them. I'm incredibly grateful for that. And, you know, I don't take that lightly.
They are spending money like it's nobody's business there in Los Angeles. All right. Coming up, we've got Founders Day gift ideas for under $20. You got about a week to get that together. So we'll do that. And also I'll let you know that we have the Scheman and Shepherd Top Golf Tournament. You've all seen Top Golf there along I-75, and maybe you want to check it out. Here's the time to do it. Thursday, June 23rd. That's less than 2 weeks. We're going to do our show out there, and you're going to golf out there from 2:30 to 5:30 in an actual tournament. Top Golf is going to run it, so you got all their targets out there and scoring system, and we'll have a lot of fun. So you don't even have to be a good golfer. What you do have to do is sign up as an individual. You do not have to sign up as a foursome or a group or anything like we've done in the past. Go to our website, ESPNSWFL.com. You can put the names of the people that you want to be grouped with. We do allow for that. Portion of the proceeds go to the V Foundation. You'll get an ESPN swag bag, special Top Golf tournament shirt, lunch on us there. How about that? And play for some great prizes. There's a prize for first place. There's a prize for last place. There's a prize for in the middle place. And as I said before, Chris is not playing, so he will not get a prize. Log on, ESPNSWFL.com. It's a Friday. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We take our sports reporting responsibilities very seriously. when we feel like it.
This is Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd, Rick Church on the other side of the glass, ESPN Southwest Florida. That's Rick spinning the tunes. Rick, a long day today running our show, last second replacement for Chris, who had some management stuff to do. And then he's running the Everblades game tonight, as he has done every year since.
Ever. Since never missed one.
Never missed one.
You're the Cal Ripken Jr. of Everblades Radio.
Actually, since about 2010.
Before that? What happened before that?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
All right.
Well, like Chris, before 1990, nobody really cares, right?
That's right. I don't know. We actually had an affiliation with the Blades before that.
All right, so I'm asking all of our listeners to keep Rick company tonight on a Friday night while you're out and about. Maybe you're listening to the game. Hopefully, you can still go, by the way. Tickets still available. Text in to Rick. Say hi to Rick. And I want to get that going. I want that to be a thing.
It's kind of become a thing. Get a few texts during the game.
I know. It's starting. It's building. It's like the new thing to do.
Go Blades. Go Blades.
Yep. All right, so
Father's Day.
Father's Day, it's a week from Sunday, right?
Yeah.
All right, we got on our website.
It starts your vacation week, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. ESPNSWFL.com has this list of great gift ideas for under $20. I have not looked at it. I wanted to be surprised on the air.
20 Father's Day gift ideas under $20.
Is this a list or a conversation?
That's a conversation.
Okay.
But now, you weren't one of those people. I mean, what's her name? I think Vanessa in the Cosby Show once said, I got the package at Christmas with, they used to come with a shirt and a tie. I gave Dad the shirt for Christmas and said, tie for Father's Day. you weren't one of those, right? I mean,
no.
I mean, it's tough when you're younger because you don't have any money, you know. But
I got to tell you this. I think dads are the hardest to shop for because dads seem to already have everything.
Yeah. And you just, I used to get them movies. Shocker.
It's a good idea.
Back in the day, VHS, and when you finally figured out how to use a DVD.
You had already used it.
Oh, no, they're brand, but you know, it was a lot of folks had a tough time.
All right,
so anyway, in these tough economic times,
these are low cost.
Yeah, so the first one coming in, it's a wooden beer caddy brown. It's basically... I don't think it's a good Father's Day gift.
Okay.
It's
a beer caddy?
It's a beer caddy. It's a picture like it looks like a lunchbox, but you fit three beers on one side, three beers on the other.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's got a bottle opener attached to it.
Okay. No, sometimes those caddies have other things for like a remote control or a magazine.
Yeah, you don't have
it's just for beer?
Yeah, it says wooden beer caddy, bro. I guess you could use it for keys, I guess, whatever. Yeah,
most beers come in little carrying cases when you buy them in the store, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, see, that's what happens with dad's gifts. It's like extra, like, cluttered junk that they really don't need.
Custom lyrics poster. So, you know, that your dad has a favorite song and he can't stop singing in the car, shower, to anyone else who will listen. Now you can memorialize him with this custom lyric poster. You choose the song title, artist name, and even add an optional message. Size options are 12 by 16 or 9 by 12, under $20, and...
Those are actually pretty cool. I've seen those advertised on Facebook a lot with like Led Zeppelin lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, Led Zeppelin.
Would that be cool if a younger dad, like my dad, would have no interest in that? But maybe Chaka, who's about to become a dad, one of our listeners, maybe.
What's your dad? Maybe like a Sinatra song. Whatever.
I was going to say you can do.
Yeah. You know, but it doesn't play. You just look at it, right? And when you look at this, I'm looking at the lyrics. It's shaped like an old record. People know what a record is. It's shaped like a record, and it's got the – and you got to look – it says the name of the song and the artist underneath, but you kind of – you know, if you look at it, the way this picture is set up, you get dizzy.
Mm. Anyway. Yeah, I don't think that's a good one. Officer Sean says, how about a gas gift card? That's huge.
Well, that's always – yeah.
Yeah. All right, what else we got?
All right. Engraved a lowball glass – just a rocks glass. Let Dad know how much he loves a smooth glass of whiskey with his own sippy cup. Mm-hmm. An 11-ounce premium crystal glass. Sure to get a laugh and thank you for Dad. This on Father's Day. My dad would have liked that. He liked his John Daniels.
Yeah.
John. Yeah.
Two chins, hefty heft. That's a new texture this way. You never know what your dads want. They won't tell you. They always say they don't need anything, and then you don't get anything, then you're in trouble. That's what two chins, hefty heft says.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
I used to take them. Then at the end, last few years, I'd just kick them out to a nice dinner.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think it's a bad idea.
No. Every day is a grill day T-shirt. Every day is grill day. What day of the week? Good to fire up the grill. Your dad knows it's every day.
A lot of grill paraphernalia for Father's Day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my dad's thing. Every Saturday night in the summer, the 8 weeks that it was sunny out.
Right.
How about A Gambling Man, a book by David Baldacci. Give Dad the gift of a gripping thriller from the number one New York Times bestselling author.
Okay.
You can say 72%. Yeah, that's not bad. My dad, you know.
This is sad. Happy Gilmore says, what do you do if your dad's a loser? Bad experience with your dad, Happy Gilmore.
Wow.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Holy cow.
Sorry that too, experience.
Right? It's going to happen. Yeah. Golf divot tool like a cigar holder. Back in the day, he would have liked that. My dad smoked a cigar while he was playing. Mm-hmm. And then, like everybody else, would just, you know, set it down.
Yeah.
Which is really not a good thing to do because of chemicals that are on the tee box.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, a cigar. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. A wood valet tray. Help Dad keep everything in the bathroom a bit more organized with this three-section tray. It gives him a spot to hold items like razors, moisturizers, beard oil, and any other products he uses regularly.
Rick, do you use beard oil on that very impressive beard you have?
Nope.
That's just as is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never been one to put anything in my hair or, you know, I don't do any gel or sprays or anything like that.
Okay.
How about a hot sauce 5-pack? If your dad loves to spice up everything on his plate.
For some, that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The set includes jalapeno, hot sauce, a cayenne pepper, hot sauce, garlic herb, hot sauce, chipotle,
pepper. Did you say herb or herb?
I've just been herb like English. The English say herb.
Okay.
Herb, hot sauce, chipotle, pepper, hot sauce, and smoky bourbon hot sauce.
Mm.
Nice.
Okay.
I don't know about this.
What's that?
Next one, classic PlayStation controller ceramic mug. It's a regular white coffee. Yeah.
For a full-grown
maybe
man?
Maybe a younger dad, I guess. A younger dad. And the handle is shaped like the remote control that sticks out.
Hmm.
It's actually kind of clever.
I don't like any of these ideas yet.
Any dads who are PlayStation fans, no, a younger dad might appreciate that.
I give that to my dad.
A lot of dads can be PlayStation fans, but maybe not wanting to have a mug shaped like a controller.
Yeah.
Get your dad a PlayStation game if he likes playing PlayStation.
My dad would say, what is that? PlayStation? I mean,
Did your dad ever play Atari with you back in the day? My dad played Atari with me, 2600, back in the day.
Not really.
Really?
Me and my brother and my friends played. I don't remember my dad really playing the Atari.
My dad was cool that way. He would do that, and it had a little air hockey thing. And
yeah.
He'd bring up chocolate at night, and he liked playing tanks.
I like playing tanks.
The game that came with it.
Packer Backer says, does Rick have a man bun? No, Rick has nice, thick hair. He's, of the three of us, he's the one that won't go bald. He's good to go.
All right, another
almost too much hair, really.
Another gift idea for fathers under $20. And again, I don't know, a Dunder Mifflin hat. Fans of The Office can feel a member of the Scranton branch with this ball cap. Dad can don the hat and feel like he's in it with Jim Stanley and Phyllis in no time. I have no idea who those people are because I don't watch the show.
There's a show you haven't seen?
Yeah, you don't know The Office. I actually seen one or two episodes. I don't hate it. I need to watch
it. Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
I'll watch it if you watch Maverick.
There's a lot of Office, though, to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Lotto has just texted in, best Father's Day idea, two strippers and an eight ball. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about a whiskey and oak candle? No.
A whiskey scented candle?
Whiskey and oak candle. In 2022, men love to get candles as gifts. They do. Like the one that says modeled into a chic brown glass container, burns for 36 hours. The candle is made with a soy wax blend. It's a very manly looking candle, whiskey and oak candle, but.
I haven't heard any like the bells going off like that's it. All right,
another one, gourmet licorice. Ugh, dad with a sweet tooth will love a tube from licorice.com. The Australian mix is an assortment of bite-sized strawberry, mango, and green apple Australian soft licorice twists. 50 types and flavors of licorice to choose from. You may end up getting some for yourself.
I will tell you, my dad is like the only person I know that likes black licorice.
Oh, my dad loved it too. My dad loved black licorice. I like black licorice.
I don't care for it at all. I like red licorice,
but I can only have maybe a quarter of a stick. That's about all I can handle.
Wow, that's not very much
at all. It tastes like rubber.
Jelly Belly jelly beans. Now, that would be a good way to go for dad.
Yeah.
Jelly Bellies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dad's ice cream spoon. It actually says dad's ice cream spoon on it.
Yeah.
I don't like this list. Concert ticket sign. Help dad decorate the office or the rec room with this 8x12 heavy aluminum sign featuring the image of a Fleetwood Mac concert ticket from 1977. It's got a vintage vibe that says your dad is cool. Now, in your dad's rec room, would he put this on?
No. You know, again, my dad's not a big music guy. And my dad grew up, you know, when rock and roll started.
Yeah,
you know, and he was a full-grown adult with the Beatles invasion and Elvis and all that time. But no, he's not.
The music I heard my parents listen to most of my life is and wasn't loud or anything was a lot of Neil Diamond.
Well, I told you, my mom loved Neil Diamond.
Mac Davis.
Yeah.
You know, Sinatra, that kind of stuff. Mellow stuff. But my dad was pretty cool. When he picked me up from practices or games, whatever, and I'd be flipping, you know, back then he'd. How many times did your dad say, don't bust the radio, don't bust the radio because you're hitting things? He'd be like, I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one. A custom chef hat. Okay, this one's somewhat. I can understand. Every king of the grill needs his custom-owned chef hat. It's a poly-cotton blend designed to fit any head up to 13 inches.
But who's going to wear a chef's hat?
Well, I think some people do that. Like, I can see Chris, young dad. I could see him wearing a chef hat outside.
On the grill, outside.
Just for grilling outside.
I love this from very observant texter from Rhode Island. He sent us the picture of Morty Seinfeld with the number one dad t-shirt. By the way, my kids have gotten me this shirt because of my love for Seinfeld. I do own the number one dad t-shirt. I do own that.
Now, did anyone ever come to you and go, oh, you think you're better than me?
And then what happened afterwards with Mr. Mandelbaum?
Yeah, one of us like,
look, world's greatest dad.
Jerry saying, I don't really know how official any of these rankings are.
Yes. All right, another one idea. Play that beat jigsaw puzzle. It's got a 1,000-piece puzzle featuring tons of record album covers from Johnny Cash to Grateful Dead to Kiss, Janis Joplin, U2, Miles Davis, Etta James.
Now, I think that would be really cool. I mean, jigsaw puzzles are, you know.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
My mom would do a jigsaw puzzle, but my dad would not.
Yeah. A couple more here. Beer and sausage socks. Father's Day sizzle for dad with these beer and sausage socks from Happy Socks to help bring out your dad's fun and frothy side.
Really?
Yeah, but if you're wearing pants, you can't see it.
And you guys used to hammer me when I wore an occasional sock back in the day. But these are designer socks. So.
Yeah, these are designer socks. Dad nutritional facts mug.
Is it sarcastic?
It clearly outlines his important elements, including strength, guidance, humor, with dad jokes, hard work, no wrong answers, and, of course, lots of caffeine. So on the it says nutrition facts, you know, like a label.
Yeah.
Serving size, one amazing father. Strength 100%, guidance 100%, humor 50%, hard work 110%, wrong answer 0%, caffeine 50%. Okay. Okay, and here's one. This is another one I used to give my dad.
Okay.
Top Flight 2020 XL Distance Golf Balls, 15-pack. 15-pack of balls, those are $20.
Yeah.
So I did used to get him that.
Okay.
This is something, the last one I would never get him, a WWE retro toaster. It looks like something out of what she would buy in the 70s out of one of those like Barbie Dreamhouse things or the Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah.
A light bulb.
Huh.
How freaking cute is this toast? It's not. Even better, it burns the WWE mark on your bread. Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, you sear it in there.
Yeah. Anyway, there you have it.
I'm 0 for 20 on this list. I don't think I would buy anything.
The golf ball's the only thing I'd go for.
Yeah, golf balls.
1 for 20.
Green Falcon says this list is proof that Father's Day doesn't get the respect Mother's Day does. Can you see these lame gifts being suggested for moms?
No, totally different.
No. All right. That was worth the spin, though.
Yeah.
If you want to send that to a friend.
Should be what? Not to get SWFL. Not to get your dad on Father's Day.
Maybe. Maybe they would
have a new angle. Process of elimination.
Exactly. all right. Coming up next hour, Wikipedia, with your chance to play Pete Shepard in trivia. You can win subs for you and a friend at Firehouse Subs. Wikipedia every day at 4:45-ish. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
What makes a winner?
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
What makes a loser?
I'm a loser, baby.
We hash it all out for your listening pleasure.
He's a winner.
Look, I'm a loser.
This is Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida. We just ran through a list of Father's Day gift ideas on our website for under $20. A lot of people aren't happy with the list. Not the list. We'll put these things up. They're worthy of conversation.
Yeah.
That's what's out there. And look, Father's Day is always a tough one. Two Chins Hefty F says, as a father, I would not be happy with any of these, LOL. Wig sending in a nice picture of the family. Good to see you, Wig.
Oh, sweet.
Golden Knights, single worst list ever. Utah! One of the dumbest things I got my dad for Father's Day like 20 years ago. Ended up being one of his favorites, and he still uses it. It's a motorcycle-shaped glass that you can put Captain Morgan's or any alcohol into, and it has a tap. Interesting. Noblesville. Yeah, you know what? How about a gift card from Gavin's Ace Hardware? There you go.
Awesome.
You can't go wrong with hardware
stuff. No, especially there.
Hardware, golf, and alcohol and steaks. I don't think you could go wrong.
No, or maybe a gift certificate to a restaurant or something.
Also a good idea. Also a good idea. Yeah. All right, so, Rick is in for Chris, doing some management stuff. Chris has texted me his pigskin picks. We have that coming up next hour.
Is the USFL season still going on?
It is week 9, Rick Church.
4-0 last week. Me, Rick, 4-0.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, with the NBA season winding down and hockey winding down, you know, it's time for you to start paying attention to this thing that's taking America by storm.
It's about to explode.
Taking America by storm, it's more like a light sprinkle.
People are talking.
I don't know if they are. I don't know that.
I didn't say they're talking about that.
I think the most biggest success story out of the USFL is Jason Garrett apparently was calling games, and he's turned that into a deal with NBC to replace Drew Brees. And I don't know if any football players are going to get gigs, but the broadcasting has worked out.
But Jason Garrett, does he strike you as a network broadcast? I don't know. I guess I should reserve judgment till we actually hear him. I don't picture him being overly critical or being objective.
He was a 500 coach. He'll be a so-so average analyst or whatever he's supposed to do. So, yeah, look, Drew Brees was not good either.
No.
He wasn't bad, but he was just, vanilla. Yeah, I need somebody taking some shots so I can come in here on Monday and start talking about it. Did you hear what that guy said? That's what I need more of in broadcasting.
And college football news, a little thing, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. Imagine a school that wasn't even Division I 20 years ago will officially join the Big 12 on July 1st, 2023, after reaching an exit agreement with the AAC.
That's good.
So after Oklahoma and Texas announced plans to move to the SEC last year, the Big 12 added Cincy, Houston, UCF, and BYU.
Things are happening.
Oklahoma and Texas will depart for 2025. But they'll be in the league together for a couple of years, though, with Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah. Yep. Silver Bullet says Jason Garrett will be able to clap on screen. That's all he does. Come on, guys. Good comment. All right. Let's throw it to commercial break. Good job. What Jason Garrett will do.
You can't find anybody better than that. Jason freaking Garrett. Are you serious?
I know.
There's a bunch, I guarantee, bunch of local announcers of all the NFL teams, radio and TV. Is Jason Garrett a draw? Not that I watch anything for a draw, but, like Peyton Manning and the Manning cast, like that's a draw.
Yeah.
I know it's apples and oranges, sort of, but
I never watched
any game based on, but Jason, are you going to go, oh God, I can't wait to hear what Jason Garrett says.
No. Bad attitude guy says Jason Garrett has to be good at something. It sure as hell isn't coaching.
Or quarterbacking.
Yeah. You know, he's been made a lot of money being very average at things. Yeah. Granted, at the highest level in the NFL. Electric whistle, LOL. I really don't even remember hearing Drew Brees. And Utah! Mm-hmm. How crappy must Brees feel being replaced by that guy?
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to that.
Maybe.
Anyway. Otis says, Jason Garrett does know football. Just because y'all don't like him doesn't mean he doesn't know football. I know he knows football.
I know he knows football.
Drew Brees knows football, but he was not able to convey it in a critical manner. He was just vanilla. And I think that's what we're going to get with Jason Garrett. That's all I'm saying. He clearly knows football.
It's never about that. Hey, some of the most mediocre / bad football players make really great analysts. Mm. You know, just that's the other thing too. I mean, you don't have to be. I'm not saying you have to be a Hall of Famer or a superstar to be good at a broadcasting job as a color analyst. A lot of guys on radio and TV, you know, weren't great.
Yeah,
pretty good, but not great. Yeah. But they know how to break down a game.
Sure, but you and I know how to break down a game.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't give you. They can give you a lot of inside information that. You know, what goes on behind the scenes that we can't.
The culture.
Yeah, that too. Whatever that is.
All right. Wikipedia today, I decided I wanted to do football. I didn't want to do any basketball or whatever. So we're going to take a trip down memory lane of 2021. Oh. See how much you remember the past season before we get ready to really get serious with our countdown to the new season that's coming up. So it's fun, and everybody should do well. Maybe a nice, smooth Friday topic for you later on. We will have our USFL picks. Rick, get the arm ready. It's time. The thumb ready. It's time to practice. Flip the coin.
Oh, I'm ready.
Practice during this top of the hour break.
I'm ready.
And Gus Alonso will join us. We got another horse race this weekend. The Belmont, the longest one of the three. So we got an action-packed 4 o'clock hour, and then it's Miley and Harry Carey, and we're off to the weekend. So we got that going for us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.